Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special bonus episode of Happy Healthy Human Radio. I'm your host, Samantha Attard, coming at you from the very beautiful Washington, D.C. I'm an Ayurvedic coach, yoga instructor, and doula, sharing with you the things I'm learning about and teaching about in my everyday life so that we can all find just a little more balance, bliss, and confidence. Now, most of y'all know I am off on maternity leave, and we're pausing podcasts until the beginning of 2020. But I recently had the opportunity to do an interview with Carrie Harling, who is the author of a fabulous new book called The 25-Day Ayurvedic Cleanse. And after I read the book and heard more about Carrie, I knew I had to get a chance to talk to her. We've been working on scheduling this interview for such a long time that I knew I wanted to make sure we got it in and delivered to you guys before the new season. So I'm really excited about this conversation. Carrie is such a wellspring and wealth of knowledge. Because of the work that she does over at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Integrative Medicine, as well as her own practice, which is called Holistic Highway, she's worked with so many people with a myriad of different health issues and situations, and has been able to really build Ayurveda into a modern context. We talk about how she actually is able to call upon lab values and actually look at some Western medical parameters while providing Ayurvedic routines and support. And so it's just a really beautiful perspective of how East and West can work really well together. And she just brings so much great experience and knowledge to the table. So I think you're going to really love this interview, as well as her book. Her book, The 25-Day Ayurveda Cleanse, actually does spell out how one would do a Ayurveda cleanse, but we also talk about why, first off, the Ayurveda cleanses are very different than most cleanses that we're used to hearing about, but also that not everyone really needs it, and that you can do different pieces of her program, and whether it's just using her really fabulous recipes or bringing some of these Ayurvedic practices into your life. It's a beautiful book and a beautiful conversation. So we're talking here today to Carrie Harling. I hope you love and enjoy this interview. Just to give you the official bio of Carrie. Carrie is a certified Ayurvedic practitioner and CEO of Holistic Highway. She also has a practice at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Integrative Medicine, runs the Ayurveda Sanctuary, is a registered practitioner with the National Ayurveda Medical Association, and is a certified yoga teacher. She lives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Like I mentioned, her book is called The 25-Day Ayurvedic Cleanse, and it has wonderful recipes, wellness plans for all of the three doshas, and is available anywhere that books are sold. So I highly recommend you look up Carrie, and I hope you enjoy this podcast, this bonus episode. I will see you all in 2020. Welcome, Carrie, to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Samantha.
I am very, very excited to have you on here. I absolutely loved your book, The 25-Day Ayurveda Cleanse. It was full of so many useful, just such useful information. I mean, obviously the recipes, the charts, the body work, like of course with Ayurveda, it's holistic. And so I'm always just excited. I'm like, oh, there's so much here. It touches every part of life and every part of our world. And so I was really curious, thinking about your story and kind of your entry into Ayurveda. I'm really curious if there were specific Ayurvedic principles that were really game-changing for you. You know, some people really get into it from a diet perspective. Other people, I'll speak to myself, you know, the idea that I could be different than someone else and that maybe what I need is not something that someone else needs. Like, that was like my aha, okay, now the world makes sense, because I tried for so long to fit myself into what other people were doing. And so that was like a really big game changer for me, and really one of the things I find most compelling about Ayurveda. And I'm curious, what were some of those things for you?
Gosh, that is such a difficult question, because it's got layers to it, Samantha. Mm-hmm. So as I've studied more and more, I still keep getting those aha moments. But I think when I first started out, I think what impressed me most and sort of really sense that there was no one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no one drug that suits all people, no one diet, exercise regimen, no one supplement, or even type of yoga, which I was doing at the time, because everybody's unique. And that was quite life-changing for me, because I just assumed, you know, everybody should take this supplement if it was anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should do this yoga because, you know, everybody needs to stretch and needs that mind body exercise. So to see that sort of nuance, but it may not be right for you, or it may not be right for you in the season that you're in, that was quite life-changing for me. And then, as I said, as I sort of study it more and get deeper and deeper into it, every day something amazes me. Right now, because we're moving into another season, I am so amazed at just the tiny seasonal changes that we can make for fall can create such a big difference. Just sort of moving more towards warm, nourishing root vegetables as opposed to the salads of summer can make such a huge difference to our digestion. So right now I'm being pretty impressed with just the fact that we're changing seasons.
Right. I think that is so beautiful. And do you find at this point that some of those changes happen pretty naturally? Do you, you know, wake up one day and say, oh yeah, root vegetables are the thing now? Or do you kind of have the calendar? Like, I'm curious what's, you know, where does the switch even start to happen?
I think what happens in the season, and I've seen this with my clients too, there's just a sort of intention towards that thing. So, you know, you might look at a salad and think, I don't really crave that as much.
Yeah.
I don't really fancy that right now. I think I just fancy like a vegetable soup.
Mm-hmm.
Or suddenly, if you've been having fruit for breakfast, it might be, I fancy something a little heavier, like, I remember chai and oatmeal. That used to be great. So I think it's just the body's innate wisdom as the weather gets colder and drier and we get into this changeable season of these things are just going to be a little more grounding and warming and balancing. And I don't think it's like, okay, today's the first day of fall, so now we switch over to everything in fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very much a transition. There's several weeks there where we sort of think, yeah, maybe I'll have a salad today, but maybe not. And we sort of transition into those more, as I said, warming or grounding things for fall.
You know, that's so funny, and it makes me think, so I'm currently, I don't think you know, I'm currently 9 months pregnant. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
it's a very special time. And it's funny because, you know, for the last 3-4 years, however many I've been like kind of speaking to groups about Ayurveda and talking with clients, you know, I always use the example of like smoothies are not for Sam, like no way, Jose, like it's going to mess me up and it's going to not feel great. But then, you know, during this pregnancy, suddenly, like, basically pitta overload has been my pregnancy feeling. And particularly all through the summer, you know, I'm like, smoothie every day, feels amazing, I love it. And it's really interesting, like, the last week and a half to 2 weeks, suddenly I was like, no more of this. And it was a really interesting, incredibly intuitive transition. Because
exactly.
You're right, on the one hand, especially at this point, I kind of know, I'm like, oh yeah, chill in the air. That means Vata's coming. And I kind of intentionally make that change. But this was such a body change. And it was kind of cool to bypass the brain on that and to really just have the body say, no more of this. Like, I'm good. Like, thank you. I'm good.
I think you bring up an excellent point that the body has its own innate wisdom. And one of the most exciting things I see with my clients when I work with them over a year is as they sort of really understand Ayurveda and they implement more and more of the practices, they'll turn around to me as I do a seasonal consultation with them and say, oh, I've already done that. Yeah, I'm already going to bed earlier. I just felt the need.
Oh, wow.
And it's that innate wisdom that sort of they're now listening to, and it's always there, Samantha, but we forget to listen to it. You know, life gets busy, life gets crowded, and we no longer do the things that are right for us because we get too busy, we get too distracted.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious how much you attribute it to busyness, which I think is obviously huge. I know for me and for a lot of people, it so often is the outside noise. You know, you read the article about how kale is going to save the world, and suddenly you're eating kale salads all day. You know, that's what something I did a couple years ago, and my Ayurveda teacher was like, "You stop it with the kale." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I got to stop it with the kale." But you kind of just get caught up in the kind of the cultural, what are people doing? You know, I have a lot of clients that often have high vata and talking about, you know, maybe grains aren't all that bad. And that can be really important. So I'm curious for you, how much you feel is busyness versus just outside noise.
Well, I think they amount to one and the same thing because that outside noise creates busyness. And one of the reasons that I wrote the 25-day Ayurveda cleanse is, and I almost hate to use that word cleanse, because cleansing in itself is such a buzzword today. And for most people, it doesn't conjure up anything pleasant to do with a cleanse. And Samantha, if I was to say to you, you're going to go on a cleanse, I mean, what would you think? What comes up for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, so for me, for so many years, and I have not done the 25-day cleanse, because again, I was like so excited, and I was like, you're probably not supposed to do this when you're pregnant. So I figured that part out. But for so many years, I've completely said no way because as a Vata person, I know I need to eat frequently. Like, not eating isn't a great option for me. Like, that's just not a good way to stay healthy for me. So for many years, I've been just like, oh, like anything with the word cleanse in it, it's a no, because I know that's just so not going to serve me. Whether I was kind of talking about Ayurveda at that point or not, just in general, that's what happened for me, at least.
So your innate wisdom came through there, and that's great. But when I talk to a lot of people about a cleanse, you know, it sort of conjures up starvation, deprivation, colonic, diarrhea. I mean, who on earth is going to want to do a cleanse if it does all those things? I wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
So an Ayurveda cleanse is so not that. You eat really, really well. But the point I'm getting to here is that we nourish our bodies through not just digestion, but through all our five senses. And that was really important in writing the cleanse, that it wasn't just a physical cleanse. It wasn't just what you put in your digestive system. That is important, right? For sure. But it was about everything we touch, everything we look at, everything we hear creates this noise that you're talking about that distracts us from what our true nature is. So if we can just dull down that noise a little bit and just focus on us, which is what a cleanse allows you to do, then you're going to reap the rewards, which is sort of much more vitality, much more health, better sleep, better energy levels, better skin, all the things that an Ayurveda cleanse can do for you. So that's why I wrote it, because of that noise you're talking about that causes us to feel so busy. I had a client the other day, and I said to her, you know, I need you to take 20 minutes a day. She goes, I don't have 20 minutes. There is no way I can spend 20 minutes a day. And isn't that sad? And I have a lot of clients who feel that way. But isn't that sad that we cannot find just sort of 15, 20 minutes in a day just for ourselves, because life's got that busy? Imagine that kind of stress on the central nervous system. No wonder we're tired. No wonder we have poor digestion. You know, no wonder we have aches and pains and just don't feel up to par for all those reasons, that background noise that you're talking about.
Yeah, I love that. And there's so much there. And I wonder if this has been your experience too. I often will have clients or people at talks, you know, come up to me and say, oh my gosh, I have so much extra kapha. It is awful. It is just crazy. Like, I can't get up. I can't do anything. And when we dig a little deeper, it's actually they had such overloaded vata, or very usually pitta, that they essentially just burned, like literally burned, like the pitta burned themselves out. And so the kapha is just trying to save them at this point. And so it's always kind of the first question when someone says, oh my gosh, so much kapha, like there's always the like, hold on, we got to dive a little bit, because and it's so funny, I always laugh, because whenever I get an actually like over kapha client, I'm always like, I love you, because I love kaphas. They're like delightful people. And I'm like, this is so great. Like, let's talk about this. Because I'm so used to like the kaphas not actually being kapha, just they need to actually nourish and kind of lean into the kapha just to balance the world that we live in.
We live in a world that's very vata deranged. I mean, that sounds a little weird, but you know, we are so bombarded with stimulation that we've forgotten how to just slow down. And a lot of what I do with my clients is just help them slow down.
Yeah.
Just that in itself can make a huge difference.
I love that, and it is so true. And oh, to speak to your point about the noise and the cleansing being more about just food, about it being a life and all five of the senses. You know, I made a very big mistake. It's the first time I did a 3-day Khichdi cleanse. I said, you know, I'll do this cleanse, but I'll still go and teach yoga. It'll be fine. I'll still see my clients. It'll be great. And, you know, by day two, I have a raging headache and feel like I'm not as smart as I could be when I'm working with people or teaching a class. And I was like, maybe you should have taken some time off if you were going to do this. Sure. And it was really interesting to really feel that and say, oh, wait. Hold on, this is way more than just your digestive system. It's how you're digesting everything.
I think self-care, we have a funny idea about self-care in our culture here in the US. We think self-care is selfish, but it's not. It's essential because we can't be those mothers, wives, good employees, business owners, best friends, sisters, and all the things that we are in the world, we can't be those things unless, you know, we've rejuvenated, we put some time into ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our culture does not reward that. Our culture rewards us to keep on going and pushing and going and going. And then you're right, we reach burnout. We just can't go anymore. The body just sort of throws in the towel and says, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. And here's your diagnosis, because you've got to stop now, because now you have a diagnosis of diabetes or cancer or heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's hard to reverse that. It's much easier to prevent it than it is to reverse it.
Oh, completely. And so I'm curious, so for all of your clients, do you always start with this 25-day cleanse? Do you start with a shorter one? Like, how do you get people on board with this? Especially if they feel like, oh, this is way too much time. I don't have 20 minutes. How do you work with that?
So first off, a cleanse is not indicated for everybody at all time, because again, there's no one size fits all. So as you quite aptly pointed out, if you're pregnant, you should not be cleansing. Mm-hmm. If you've just gone through a major loss, a death, or you're moving house, or you're going through a divorce, this is certainly not the time to cleanse. If you're training for a marathon, this is not the time to cleanse, because all cleanses, even an Ayurveda cleanse, is depleting. It will deplete you before it builds you back up again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a situation of illness or divorce or depression or pregnancy, you know, your body's already doing other things. There are special needs that your body has at that time. So not great for cleansing. But there are traditionally two times a year that we tend to cleanse in Ayurveda. One is fall, and that's to build up our immunity for the upcoming winter. The other time we traditionally cleanse is in springtime, and that's so we can sort of come out of the heaviness of winter and sort of lighten and brighten up and naturally detoxify as we move into spring. So those are the two traditional times that most people, unless they have those other things we've just talked about, is indicated for them to cleanse. There is another time that we cleanse. If somebody has digestive toxins, which we call in Ayurveda ama, just means digestive toxins, if those have built up, and they can build up because we're on medication, because we're under stress, because we've eaten the wrong things at the wrong times, for 101 different reasons that can build up, then a cleanse is always indicated at that time. So I always start with a 2 to 4 hour consultation with my clients, and we determine then, are you even strong enough to do a cleanse? Is it the right time of year for you to do a cleanse? If it is, or you have armor, or there's a good reason to do it, then we'll talk about the benefits of it and work on it. If it's not, then clearly it's not indicated at that time for that person. And then maybe when they're stronger, when they're feeling better, when something else is going on in their life, then we can revisit it if they need it. But by all means, it's not everybody should start with a cleanse. Not at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make space for a cleanse? Would you say, you know, again, 25 days is a good place to start? Would you say, you know what, no matter what's happening in your body, so let's do a smaller one first. How do you like to approach that piece of it?
I like the 25 day, can't say it myself now, and I made it up. The 25-day Ayurveda cleanse. I like it because I've seen the best results in 25 days. It doesn't mean that you are cleansing for 25 days. I don't want everybody to think, oh my God, I'm not going to eat for 25 days. You know, there's a preparation phase for 5 days where you come off the more difficult to digest foods. There's a pre-cleanse phase where we're sort of scrubbing through that digestive system where you still eat really, really well. Then there's the heart of the cleanse where you're eating this meal, khichdi, which is an Ayurveda superfood, which is a very easily digestible food for the body and is a natural chelator of things like heavy metals. And then, and you only do that for 5 days, and then you go into the post-cleanse where you reintroduce those foods back again. So there are many different things going on. So you're not sort of just cleansing for that period of time. Mm-hmm. So when I normally talk about the benefits of a cleanse, and if it is indicated for somebody to have a cleanse, they're probably feeling pretty rough.
Mm.
They probably have symptoms. They're probably not sleeping well. They may have digestive problems. And remember, if anybody has gas and bloating, heartburn, diarrhea, loose stools, or burping, these are all signs of poor digestion. Mm-hmm. 80% of Americans have poor digestion. That's a huge statistic right there.
That is huge. Yeah.
So most of my clients are quite ready to cleanse because they want to feel better.
Yes.
So there's no great motivator than having somebody sort of say, hey, if you do this, you're going to feel so much better. So I don't normally have a problem with somebody taking the time out to do it. And the way we talk about it, it's an opportunity mm-hmm. to take some time for you. This is a gentle cleanse. You can still do all the things you normally do. You know, you can still go to work. You can still go to your children's sports games. But it is an opportunity to take a step back from the busyness of life and say, but do I need to do everything? Mm-hmm. Do I need to go out every night of the week? Are there things I can just scale back while I'm on the cleanse and just take this time for me? So I think people are quite happy to do that. It's different for a lot of people. It can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people really do want to feel better.
I love that. And that is such a great point of once you actually recognize that something is not normal, it becomes a lot easier to change it and a lot easier to mm-hmm. shift it. Because I think, like you said, with 80% of Americans having some sort of digestive problem, it can feel very normal and it can feel very normalized to feel certain ways. And it's kind of amazing when you take that step back and you say, oh, wait, this isn't how it has to be. This isn't what aging has to look like. This isn't what, having I don't want to use the word a high stress job, but a very engaged, active job has to look like. This isn't what having kids has to look like. Like all of these things, like they can be done in a more embodied place and in a way that you feel better.
We do normalize our symptoms. We do put it down to, you know, I'm just busy right now, or I'll take some vitamins or some probiotics and that will help with my gas and bloating, or tomorrow I'll exercise, or I'm getting older, so that must be why I've now got aches and pains. And we do normalize it. And then before long, that is our new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client, Samantha, who came to me and she said, you know, I'm really healthy. She was a marathon runner. And she said, but I want to maintain my health as I get older. So it's like, great, okay.
Yeah.
So within 3 months, she came back to me and she said, oh my gosh, Kerry, I had no idea I could feel so good. I thought I felt really good in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but I had no idea how much better I could feel. Mm-hmm. So that's so rewarding to see somebody move their normal up a few notches. So now they have a new normal of health rather than not feeling so healthy.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And I think that 100%. And it's, again, it's like we don't even know what's possible sometimes. And the one that comes up for me a lot with people I talk with is particularly around period pain and menstrual cramps and what hormones fluctuating throughout the month has to look like. And that's, I think, like digestion is one of those places where pain has become so normalized that it's sometimes it's hard to even believe that it's possible for it not to be incredibly painful or a really hard time of the month. So I really love that you're bringing up this point.
And I think with a menstrual cycle, and I see that in periods with younger women, and certainly in menopause with older women, is this is a transition. As we go through those cycles, it is a transition on the body. And the extent of imbalance that you are in going through that cycle is the extent of symptoms you're going to have. Mm. So, for example, if we look at menopause, it is not normal to have symptoms in menopause. And if you look at indigenous women, they don't have menopausal symptoms. Mm-hmm. But you're right, we've normalized it here. And we've said, oh my gosh, yes, you're going to dry out. Yes, you know, sex is going to become painful. Yes, you're going to have hot flashes. You're going to feel fatigued. You're going to be bitchy and bad tempered. Absolutely. This is all part of menopause. Mm-hmm. But as I said, it's that transition. So if you are imbalanced going into that transition, then you're going to see more symptoms. So let's get you balanced before you go through that major transition as a woman.
Such a great point, and actually, and thank you, because it also, I mean, pregnancy is another one, and which is huge. So I think that is so important, and that is what I love so much about Ayurveda is, one, obviously the focus on prevention, which, like you said, is so much easier than trying to cure something. And then, two, the fact that there is room for change, that what you do when you're 20 might look different than what you do at 27, which will look different than what you do at 37, 47, 57. And there's no, it's not, oh, so that must have been wrong. It said, no, I'm changing. And so what I do can change. And I think it's really beautiful that there's that allowance not only within individuals, but also within an individual over time.
Absolutely. And we have different seasons that we live in. So, for example, between 0 and about 20 years of age is Kapha time of life. And this is, you know, where we're building our muscle mass, where there's a lot of fluid around, a lot of building, a lot of stamina building. And this, we see this in our kids, they're building. But there's a lot of that sort of stagnation and fluid that we see in Kaphas. You know, they've got runny noses constantly, congestion. So this is Kapha time of life. And then from about 20 to about 50, and these are not written in stone, is Pitta time of life. Well, Pitta is where we get our drive from, our ability to be productive, to keep on going. And we want that Pitta in us that time of year, because this is when we're building families, we're building careers, we're buying houses, we are being very productive. And then as we approach 50 years of age, we're approaching that Vata time of life. And this is what they call the wisdom years, where you take a step back from that drive and you realize, you know what, I don't need to fight quite so much. I don't need to be the top of everything. I don't need to be quite so competitive. I actually want to give back now. And then we see sort of that need to take a step back, but still give, but in a different way. So when I do a consultation, it's not just what dosha are you? I mean, that's nice, and that's the part of Ayurveda that everybody gets excited about. But it's also, how important is your agni, your state of digestion? What season of life are you in? How much strength do you have? What state of disease are you in? Because we have 6 different stages of disease before a physician would even notice it. So where are you in that? And all these things I look at in a consult before we ever sort of look at doshas and things like that. So where you are in the season of life is important too. And you're clearly in Pitta season of life.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, my friend. Yes, indeed. And it has been fascinating. I definitely have a fair amount of Pitta in me, but definitely this pregnancy has been such a fascinating shift. I mean, the way, like, I laugh. I was like, okay, I have 9 months where I can eat popcorn. We're going to do it. And so I've been eating all this popcorn. I feel great. I have, you know, all this raw fruit all the time. I feel great. Like, you know, I didn't eat a raw apple for probably 6 or 7 years. And suddenly I have one once a day. And I'm just like, okay, great. Things are fine. It's just been a really, just a fascinating practice and just fascinating to see and to notice. And I love, you know, you mentioned again the 6 stages of disease before a doctor would even notice a problem here in the US. And it gets back to what we were talking about normalizing symptoms, and that reminder that, you know, if you said, oh gosh, I've just been feeling really really slow the last week, or I've really been dragging, or something feels really stressful the last week, like that's a stage of disease. And that we actually can, instead of just squashing it down and saying, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know, it's not, don't worry about it. We can actually say, well, actually, there's something going on here. There's room to rebalance. And what is that? And to find that balance a lot quicker.
I say, because I have a TED Talk too, and I say in my TED Talk, can you imagine the doctor of the future? So you go to that doctor and you say, you know, doc, I just don't feel well. I don't know what's wrong, but I just don't feel quite right. Mm-hmm. And the doctor turns around and says, well, okay, make sure you're eating organic food. Make sure you're getting out in nature. Mm-hmm. Turn the TV off at 10 o'clock at night. Oh, and slow down and take some time just to meditate and get out in nature. Go for a walk. And then send you out of his office. Can you imagine a doctor sort of saying that? I mean, they just wouldn't say that today. But I think the doctor of the future will need to look at those things, yes, to keep his patient healthy.
Well, completely. And I do think I heard recently that in, I think it's England, that patients presenting with depression or anxiety that's at a low to medium level, so not an emergency situation, that doctors are prescribing exercise 3 times a week rather than SSRIs, and like that they're actually having better results by prescribing exercise for these low mild cases. And I think that's just so fascinating and so beautiful.
We're seeing more and more. We're seeing yoga more and more in the schools for our kids, especially our ADHD kids. We're seeing, you know, the benefits of mind-body exercises for children with anxiety. We're seeing younger and younger children with anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to look at a world. What is wrong with our world that our most vulnerable population, our young people, are coming down with sort of depression and anxiety and eating disorders? Mm-hmm. You know, something is very stressful out there for them. So,
well, it's so true. Yeah. And just to speak to, you know, what you mentioned about the VADA derangement, especially I live in Arlington, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., and we have a very huge percentage of kids that are diagnosed with ADD as well as autism. And it's just amazing when you look at, oh, look at these huge, like those are Vata derangements and Vata issues, and big surprise that that's what's showing up in our world right now. Same as you said with the anxiety and the stress and depression. So there's work to be done.
There is definitely work to be done. Yes.
So I would also love to check in real quick on, again, the kind of overwhelm that can sometimes happen when people first learn about Ayurveda and they're starting to apply it into their lives, and suddenly I'm not supposed to use my microwave or have it, you know, or I meal plan and I cook a big stew on Sunday, and so what do I, like, I'm not supposed to do leftovers. You know, how do you talk with people about implementing Ayurvedic practices without feeling like they actually can't, that it's impossible, that there's no way they could be good enough at it?
You know, that's a great point, Samantha, and I'm so glad you brought that up. So my mission, my vision is to make Ayurveda accessible in the modern world. Mm-hmm. So yes, the classical texts tell us we shouldn't use microwaves. Well, we never had microwaves then, so obviously, obviously we're not going to use them. But if I turned around to all my clients and say, well, never use your microwave again, half of them I think would ditch me and say, well, it's going to get too hard then. Yeah. So it has to be accessible. So the idea is that Ayurveda meets you wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And it's those small changes that make the biggest difference. I'll give you an example. I had a client, she wasn't yet a client, but she came to me and she said, you know what, Kerry, I don't know why I don't feel healthy. Now, she was typically Vata, so she was very, very thin. Her bones were very prominent. She had high anxiety, constipation. She was cold all the time. She was waking up about 3 o'clock each morning, and she just didn't feel good. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I eat 2 salads a day. You think I'd be really healthy. Mm-hmm. So I explained to her that salads, although a healthy food for some, were too light and dry for Vata. So all I wanted her to do was cook her vegetables. Mm-hmm. So instead of raw vegetables, she had to cook them. That's the only change we made. Mm. Within a month, this person was sleeping through the night. She was no longer constantly cold. Her anxiety was down and she no longer had constipation and she felt so much better.
Wow.
Now, she could make that change if I'd said, also stop running, which she loved to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you have to do this and you can't use the microwave and you can't eat leftovers. It would have been too ominous. She would not have done it. But we're motivated by what works. So now she's on board because she's like, hey, this is great. I'm feeling so much better. What else can I do? So then we can turn around and say, well, that running you're doing of 10 miles every day, can we scale that back just a little bit? Can mm-hmm. we add a mind-body exercise? And then she jumps on board with that, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do it. Slow baby steps. Never shock the body. Let's never do anything that you sort of think, oh, my God, I just can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But recognize that Ayurveda is a shift to a lifestyle that's right for you. So you're going to start feeling better. And as I said, we start feeling better, we're motivated to keep doing it. The only reason we don't continue things is because it doesn't seem to work.
Right. Oh, it's so true. And I really love that. And that's amazing. And such a great reminder of one change can make such a huge mm-hmm. difference. And,
yes.
and, you know, and something I practice for myself, and I always like to tell clients of, you know, if you heard you're supposed to tongue scrape and you tongue scrape every day, and frankly, you don't notice a difference and you don't really, like, it's not, for whatever reason, it's really annoying and you're not into it, like, great, drop it. Like, and then, and focus though. But if Abhyanga, like the oil massage,
mm-hmm.
if that makes you feel great, then do that. Like, right.
Yes.
And so, and to adopt the things that work and the things that you notice make you feel good and then take the time to commit to those. And so that you actually keep up the practice rather than just letting it drop over time. And in that way, there's a myriad of options of things you could do to live more Ayurvedically, but do the things that speak to you, that feel important, and of course actually have the benefit that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, I've been asked all sorts of questions, like, you know, do I have to do yoga? Do mm-hmm. do I have to chant? Do I have to be a Hindu? I mean, I've heard all kinds of things that sort of got attached to Ayurveda that has nothing to do with Ayurveda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ayurveda is not spiritual. It recognizes that to be healthy, we also need that spiritual connection. But whatever that spiritual connection is for you, it's for you.
Mm.
For some, it's praying. They have a God that they pray to. For others, it's nature. For others, it's the universe. For others, it's nothing. That's perfectly fine. But as long as you have something that's a little bigger than yourself, that makes us feel more than just us in our little world. So that gives mind-body balance. So there are so many different aspects to Ayurveda that are very, very simple. From, you know, what was it? I had one client and he used to drink a lot. I mean, he was a partier. He really was. He was pitta. So you can imagine alcohol heated him up even more. And for those people who don't know what pitta is, pitta has a lot of a fire element. So it's heating.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are pitta often have acid reflux or loose stools or migraines, heating headaches, skin sensitivities. And he had this sort of alcohol flushing. He did a cleanse, came off alcohol, felt pretty good, actually. And then met his friends for a weekend, and that was it. Went on sort of a bender for the weekend, felt absolutely lousy afterwards. And he goes, Kerry, I think you've ruined me. I just can't do this anymore. And there's nothing like doing something we used to do and thinking, ugh, I feel really awful.
Yes.
I mean, I've had people that have come off processed foods and, you know, they've gone and stayed with somebody for a weekend and eaten nothing but processed foods. And then afterwards, they're like, I had no idea it used to make me feel so bad. So I don't want to do this anymore because I feel really horrible doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, it's very motivating to do the things that make you feel good.
Oh, completely. And with multiple people, we've laughed about how when you start eating healthier, sometimes you feel like you're more sensitive. Your system becomes more sensitive because it actually isn't in such distress that it can tell you when things feel good and when things don't feel good. And it is really interesting. And I just love the idea of it being a process and it being things will fall naturally. You know, once you've made a couple steps and you've done some intentional changes, obviously, things will start to fall away and change naturally as you realize what is working and what isn't working. You know, it took me how many years of practicing Ayurveda to then say, in coffee, it's time for me and you to not hang out anymore, right? Like, and there was a long time where I was fine and not ready for it. And then one day it was like, oh, okay, if I want to get rid of a little bit of that kind of jittery anxiety and feel more even in my day, this is what has to go. And it became an easy decision because it was very obvious that that was what was left and that was what was doing it. And I love it when it becomes an easy choice because you know what will feel good.
I always think of coffee as like a bad boyfriend. He's showing up at the most inopportune times. You just can't help going for it, and then you regret it afterwards. So that's coffee. But to a more serious note, there is a diet mentality out there that tends to play out that I see. So people come into a program with me and they're like, I've got to do it perfectly. I've got to do it right. That's a diet mentality that says you can't do this and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. In Ayurveda, there's nothing you can't do. Mm-hmm. You know, that there are things that are going to exacerbate your symptoms for sure. And that's up to you whether you want to do them. So I do encourage people to sort of think of that 70-30 rule. If 70% of the time you're pretty much shifted in the direction of what's right for you, that means 30% of the time we eat pizza, eat chocolate, drink wine, and have a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to do all those things because they're very pleasurable things to do. Mm-hmm. As long as 70% of the time we're doing what's overall right for us. So it is those little changes. And we don't have to be perfect. We absolutely don't. It's not a diet. Mm-hmm. And many people that come and see me because they've been on so many diets do have that diet mentality. And it takes a little of education and then a huge relief on the client's part when they realize, oh, my gosh, yes, it's okay if I screw up. It's perfectly okay because then we just get on again. We just carry on.
Yes, Ayurveda is like it's a day at a time, and if you ate something that didn't sit well with you yesterday, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Let's try to eat something that sits well with you today. That's as easy as it is. There's no apology even necessary, yes. Which is so beautiful. I love that. So switching gears a little bit because as you've mentioned, it is such a process and you kind of get deeper and deeper and deeper, and that's definitely been my experience with Ayurveda and something I love so much about it because there's always somewhere deeper to go. I'm really curious if there is a habit in the last couple of years that you have suddenly dropped and realized it was time to drop or something that you've changed in the last couple of years that was like this like, oh great, like awesome, like I didn't know that was there and here it is. Is there anything like that for you?
Oh, that's a great question. It's not often turned around on me where I have to look at that. let me think. You know, I think I've learned over this last year, and we talked about it just before this started. I went out to Cambodia to do some medical work and got sick. I contracted dengue fever. From dengue fever, pneumonia, and I was hospitalized with it. And this was just a month ago. Yet, within 2 weeks, you know, I was coming out of the hospital, I was running the Ayurveda Sanctuary, which is a phenomenal life-changing retreat that I do each year. It's our signature retreat. And now I'm traveling, and I've realized I can't do it. I get tired, and I never got tired before. And I think it's that recognition of, okay, Terry, you're telling other people to slow down, but you actually haven't done it yourself. Mm-hmm. You have assumed it's business as normal and off you go. Mm-hmm. And it's been quite an eye-opener to sort of think, all right, it's okay to sleep in. It's okay to rest. and allow myself the luxury of what I tell other people too. And because I didn't need it, I didn't think about it, but I need it now. Mm-hmm. So it is a reminder of, yeah, you're not invincible either. So take care of yourself as well. So mm-hmm. that's been probably the biggest lesson I've learned in sort of these last couple of months.
Well, that's
because I do
huge.
Have to slow down.
And I love that, and thank you for sharing. And my guess is you came to that conclusion a lot quicker than you would have 5, 10, 15 years ago. Would you agree?
Definitely. And I think 5, 10, 15 years ago, I would have been out for the count a lot longer too. So mm-hmm. I think having that sort of Ayurveda base allowed me to recoup a lot quicker. So I thought I had the energy to do all these things. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're absolutely right. There's a sense of my body's talking to me. I need to listen to it. Whereas I wouldn't have done, I would have pushed through as many people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just keep going.
I love that. And then so a question I'd love to ask all of our guests is, when do you feel most successful?
I feel most successful when a client turns around to me and says, oh my gosh, Kerry, all my measures have improved. And that to me is so rewarding when a client turns around and we go back. I'm very outcomes based in my programs. So we take baseline measures and then we measure and clients set goals, their health goals, and we measure them every month because it's very important to me that we can see where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't just sort of say, yeah, we're doing this Ayurveda plan and sure it's going to work. We can actually see the results of it. So when we look back over a year together and a client turns around and says, oh my gosh, look at my fatigue. On a scale of 1 to 10, I was at a 1, with 1 being the lowest I've ever felt with it. And look at me now, I'm consistently at a 9.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, how do you feel? And they're glowing and you can see it in them. It's like, that's phenomenal. That makes it all worthwhile.
That is huge and wonderful. So your book, The 25-Day Ayurveda Cleanse, absolutely amazing. And where else can people find you? What else is going on that people should be on the lookout for from you?
So I'm at theholistichighway.com, so people can check me out there, where I have a meal plan where people can sign up for food that's right for their metabolic constitution, their dosha, 5 recipes each week, along with a shopping list. So that way you can just get all the right food and know that you're eating all the right foods for you throughout the week. You can also always chat to me. I love to talk to people about Ayurveda. So what I do for anybody who's interested is just talk to me for half an hour. There's no commitment here. There's no fees. I'm not charging you for anything. This is just, let's talk about your health concerns and whether Ayurveda is a fit for you, whether I can even help you. And because I work at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Integrative Medicine as well, I have a lot of resources. So if I can't help you, I know a lot of resources that probably can help you.
Mm-hmm.
So I do encourage you to sign up with me, or anybody to sign up with me, if they just want to talk about how Ayurveda can help them, or what is it, or they're not quite sure what it is, or they don't even know how to pronounce it. That's fine. All those reasons you can call me up on. So you'll find that link on my website too. So probably my website is the first place to go to see what I'm doing and where I'm doing. I'm also out and about talking and speaking a lot more. I'm in South Carolina next week. I'm in Central Pennsylvania this week. I'm in Pittsburgh. I'm in Connecticut next month, and then Pittsburgh the following month. So I'm out and about a lot. So always have time to talk to somebody. So yeah, check me out on my website, theholistichighway.com, and you can pick up my books through my website too. It'll direct you to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or wherever you get your favorite, wherever you like to get your book from.
I love that, and definitely, you know, as you do all your speaking, yeah, you just keep taking your time to rest too and recuperate.
I will do, and you too as well. In Ayurveda, we spend a lot of time on pregnant women, recognizing that it's so important to be healthy for pregnancy mm-hmm. and during pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
and we have 40 days after pregnancy when you give birth that in true Ayurveda, we send somebody out to look up, to cook all your meals, to look after the baby, to massage you every day, to massage the baby every day. So there's very specific protocols we do for a new mother to make sure that they don't get depleted. And I think in our Western world, you know, we give birth and then we're right back at work after 6 weeks.
Oh, yes.
We're back home and we're trying to cope and it's just ourselves. And I love the Ayurveda way that says, no, we take care of you for 40 days afterwards, you and the baby, and cook all your foods.
Oh, my
gosh. So that should commit people to an Ayurveda lifestyle, if nothing else.
I know. No, it's so beautiful. And I mean, that's a whole other, oh, gosh, I could talk forever about that. But I'm very grateful and lucky. My doula, she's yes. trained in Ayurvedic postpartum. And so we've been doing a lot of conversation around the best way to do that. I don't think I'll have a live-in someone that makes all my meals besides my husband, but all the other pieces is bringing as much of that as we can. So I think it's amazing and beautiful as well. And like I said, this pregnancy has brought so much deeper knowledge of Ayurveda, especially as it relates to transition and change, but then of course also understanding it from just the pregnancy and postpartum period, like you said. So I'm very excited to kind of live it and see what I find. So
terrific. Yeah, that sounds great, Samantha.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Thank you so much for being here, and I'm just so grateful we got to have this conversation.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.